Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Shukhopada Kija Ananta Koti Vaishnamrinda Kija Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kija Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kija Prems Agostri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kija Shishi Radha Krishna Gopina Sham Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kija Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Jagannathpuri Dham Ki Jai, Shri Shri Ayodhya Dham Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Angamaya Ki Jai, Jamnamaya Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi, Parinama Sankirtan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Brihatmadanga Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Marana Mahana ki jai, Shri Shri Julan Yatra ki jai, Shri Nuhastana Puradama ki jai, Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled world. All glories to the assembled world. All glories to the assembled world. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. We're reading from the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, His Holiness Sastridas Goswami. Tell me if I'm reading in the right place. Let there be a temple. After the successful 10-day Pandal festival. Okay, who's ever reading, just try to remember this little thing here is supposed to be put right where you're in. Yeah, show me where you ended. See, don't put it here, but put it where you ended. Okay, right there? Okay, so let's put it right here. Like this. So this is Tejas. After Prabhupada's car broke down, he rode the rest of the way with us on the bus. Our relationship with Prabhupada was very reverential, although we were in the most intimate situation, staying with him and traveling in a bus with him. Prabhupada never said anything about it. In those days, we were actually very much like a family. Prabhupada knew everyone, and everyone knew Prabhupada and would talk to him. But still, we were very reverential. In Vrindavan, Mr. G.L. Saraf accommodated Prabhupada, his secretaries, and the women in the party at his home, Saraf Bhavan. The rest of the devotees stayed in a nearby dharmashala. Prabhupada had come to Vrindavan for more than just a pilgrimage. He had come to try and secure land for ISKCON. When in 1967 he had come to Vrindavan from America, he had come to recuperate, but on recovering his health, he had looked for a place in Vrindavan for his disciples. He tried to establish an, quote, American house, end quote, a center where his disciples could live in Vrindavan's ideal atmosphere and receive training in Krishna conscious culture and then go out and preach. But after 2 months of little prospect for establishing his American house, he had left. This time, however, Prabhupada was coming to Vrindavan as that city's famous ambassador to the world, renowned for propagating the glories of Radhakunda and Vrindavan in the West. The success of the Hare Krishna movement was being widely publicized in India as Prabhupada and his band of foreign disciples traveled from city to city holding kirtans, lectures from Srimad Bhagavatam and telling Krishna consciousness of Krishna consciousness in the West. So when Prabhupada arrived in Vrindavan with 40 disciples, the entire town heralded his presence. The municipality of Vrindavan arranged a formal reception attended by prominent local citizens and sadhus. A spokesman for the city praised Srila Prabhupada and his accomplishments. Quote, O great soul, today we, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, known as Brajabasis, all combinedly offer our humble welcome to your holiness in this holy city of Vrindavan, and in doing so, we feel very proud. For many years, you stayed in the Radha Damodar temple and worshipped Her Majesty, Srimati Radharani, in a meditative mood. And thus you now have the transcendental vision to deliver the entire world. As proof of your perfection, we can see these foreign devotees before us, and we feel very proud to see how you have transformed them into such pure devotees. O great preacher of Vedic culture, formerly a great many swamis went to foreign countries, but now you have wonderfully preached the Sankirtan movement and the sublime philosophy of bhakti cult in the Western countries. And that is the only means for giving peace and prosperity to all people of the world. For preaching religion and culture Your holy name will remain ever dazzling. To speak frankly, we feel a very intimate relationship with you, and we feel perfect satisfaction at this time in the privilege to present you to this to present you this address of welcome. We take it for granted that you are one of us in Vrindavan. We are sure that wherever you travel, you must carry with you the impression of Sri Vrindavan Dham. The culture, religion, philosophy, and transcendental existence of Sri Vrindavan Dham travel with you. Through the great message your holiness carries, all the people of the world are now becoming very intimately related with Vrindavan Dham. We are certainly sure that through your preaching alone, the transcendental message of Vrindavan will spread all over the world. May you be crowned a success in these noble activities. Then Srila Prabhupada spoke, beginning by explaining how the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to establish Daivi Varnashram, or a God-conscious social order with universal application. We should not consider that Krishna is Hindu or Indian. Krishna is for all. These foreigners are taking to Krishna consciousness by understanding that Krishna is for all. They're not accepting a form of religious principles like Hindu or Muslim or Christian. These are designated religions. If I am calling myself a Hindu, that is not my religion. This is my designation. Because I happen to take birth in a Hindu family, therefore I call myself a Hindu. Or because I take birth in a particular land, I call myself Indian or American. But our Krishna consciousness movement is for such designated, but our Krishna consciousness movement is not for such designated personalities. This Krishna consciousness is sarvupadivinirmuktam. When one becomes free from all designations, he can take to Krishna consciousness. As long as one is Hindu or Muslim or Christian, there is no question of Krishna consciousness. The last paragraph I'll read. So these boys and girls or ladies and gentlemen who have joined me, they have given up their designations. They are no longer Americans or Canadians or Australians. They are thinking of themselves as eternal servants of Lord Krishna. Without this, there is no question of liberation from the material contamination. As long as there is material contamination, we have to devise these social orders and spiritual orders according to Shastra. It's Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. These are all material designations. But this Krishna consciousness movement is becoming transcendental to these material designations. And these boys, these foreigners, they are taking, they are being taught in that light. In case anyone didn't have to notice, yesterday was the 50th anniversary to the day of India's independence from Great Britain. And we didn't make much of a ceremony about it, I guess because we're not Indians, or Hindus, or Americans. But I think in England there was a lot of ceremony, a lot of functions were carried out. There wasn't much about it in the newspapers, was there? Some things. What did it say? Same problems. Interesting. World's largest democracy. For those of you who weren't here early this morning, right after Mangal Arati, we were reading about a new 12-page document that the President of the United States produced about people having the right to speak about their religion in federal work offices. And they could have their Bibles and Qurans and other scriptures present, and even posters, and they have to be respected by their co-workers. It was a kind of counterbalance to a recent Supreme Court ruling, which appeared to give government more power to interfere in religious activities. So a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 7th chapter, text number 31, translations purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritam naram chayvam narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam dato jayam udirayet nasta prayeshu apadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Brahmo vacha naitat svarupam bhavato so padartha vedagrahai purusho yavad ikshet jnanasya charatasya gunasya chashrayo maya mayad yatirikto matas svam brahmavacha naitat svarupam bhavato so padartha svarupam bhavato so naitat svarupam bhavato sa padartha vedagrahai purusho yavadikshet vedagrahai purusho yavadikshet janasya ta chartasya gunasya chashrayo janasya chartasya gunasya chashrayo gunasya chashrayo maya maya vyatirikto matastvam maya maya vyatirikto matastvam maya maya vyatirikto matastvam Brahmo vacha naitat svarupam bhavato so padartha veda grahai purusho yavadikshet janasya chartasya gunasya chashrayo maya maya vyatirikto matastvam Brahmovacha naitat svarupam bhavato so padartha veda grahai purusho yavadikshet janasya chartasya gunasya chashrayo maya maya vyatirikto matastvam
Yeah.
Manajis. Naitat Swarupam Bhavato Sopadata Kedagahai Purusho Yavarikshet Ganasya Chargasya Gunasya Chashrayo Maya Maya Gatirikto Matastam. Rama Uvacha. Lord Rama said, Na, not. Etat, this. Svarupam, eternal form. Bhavataha, your. Aso, that other. Padartha, knowledge. Veda, different. Brahai, by the acquiring. Purusha, person. Yavat, as long as. Ikshet, wants to see. Jnanasya, of knowledge. Cha, also. Arthasya, of the objective. Gunasya, of the instruments of knowledge. Cha, also. Ashraya, the basis. Maya Mayat,
from being made of material energy.
Yatirikta,
distinct.
Mata,
regarded.
Tvam,
you. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments. Word for word. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, your personality and eternal form cannot be understood by any person who is trying to know you through the different processes of acquiring knowledge. Your position is always transcendental to the material creation, whereas the empiric attempt to understand you is material, as are its objectives and instruments. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that the transcendental name, qualities, activities, paraphernalia, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood with our material senses. The attempt of the empiric philosophers to understand the absolute truth by speculation is always futile, because their process of understanding, their objective, and their instruments by which they try to understand the absolute truth are all material. The Lord is aprakrita, beyond the creation of the material world. This fact is also accepted by the great impersonal Shankaracharya, Narayana Paro Vyaktad Andam Avyakta Sambhavan. Avyakta, or the original material cause, is beyond this material manifestation and is the cause of the material world. Because Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material world, one cannot speculate upon him by any material method. One has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the transcendental method of Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti Mama Vijanati. Only by devotional service can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. The difference between the impersonalists and the personalists is that the impersonalists, limited by their speculative processes, cannot even approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the devotees please the Supreme Personality of Godhead
through his transcendental loving service, Sevan Mukhehi. Due to the service attitude of the devotee, the Lord is revealed to him. The Supreme Lord cannot be understood by materialistic persons, even though he is present before them. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna therefore condemns such materialists as mudhas. Mudha means rascal. It is said in the Gita, only rascals think of Lord Krishna as an ordinary person. They do not know what Lord Krishna's position is or what his transcendental potencies are. Unaware of his transcendental potencies, the impersonalists deride the person of Lord Krishna, whereas the devotees, by dint of their service attitude, can understand him as the personality of Godhead. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna also confirmed it is very difficult to understand the personality of the Lord. Om Agnati Manandasya Agnananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Vaditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapanantikam. I just want to remind everyone here that if and when you go up to the corner of Falls and River Roads, there's a library just almost exactly on the corner, and there's an exhibit put together by Madhumati, which will be there till the end of the month. So I presume that at some time or other, everyone will go up there before the end of the month. And I want to recommend that you go and have a look at it, because the residents of this area here are very often going to the library and they'll see this nice exhibit. In these prayers to the Lord, it's being emphasized that the Lord is not easily perceivable, not by ordinary means, and that it's very difficult to understand, as we read in the previous verse where Bhrigu Muni was speaking, that people are unable to understand the actual position, the unique and absolute position of the Lord, how he is the friend and protector of all the conditioned souls. And it was also mentioned previously how Lord Ananta keeps glorifying the Lord. He has thousands of heads and he keeps glorifying him, has been doing it since time immemorial, and still has not fully covered all the opulences of the Lord's pastimes, paraphernalia, personality, and all his transcendental activities. In this verse, Lord Brahma is reiterating how difficult it is to understand the Supreme Lord by ordinary processes. The processes of acquiring knowledge. The word is grahai, by the acquiring process. Usually that refers to the empiric process. Later on in this verse it said, the empiric attempt to understand you as material, as are its objects and instruments. This in Sanskrit is generally referred to as pratyaksha, the way we understand through so-called direct perception. And there is anuma, by reasoning. We can assume that because There's a speaker in the kitchen and a wire going out there that people are hearing what's being said out there. We're assuming that's to be true. That's anuma. And there's shabda, which means we understand a truth by hearing it from authorities. Authorities, especially who are honest and are transmitting the knowledge without any change, who have a desire to submit it. So of the three, the third is considered to be superior to the other two, because it's based on the idea that transcendental knowledge comes to us through spiritual teachers who have our best interest in mind. Sometimes they're compared to parents who have nothing but the good will of their child in mind. Therefore, this is considered the best means. Prabhupada explains also that the Supreme Lord can't be understood in the ordinary ways. People who think they can understand the Supreme Lord by ordinary thinking are actually deluding themselves. So to understand, and then he mentions this verse 1855, Bhaktyamana Vijamati Yavanyas Chashmi Tatvataha Tattomam Gyatvato Tatvato Gyatva Vishute Taranantaram. That it is through, it's explained there that really understanding the Supreme Lord is possible only when one engages in devotional service, not by any other means. And this method of jnana, or trying to understand Gyanasya, Charitasya, explained here as knowledge. And not only the knowledge, but the objective of that knowledge are material. People consider that Krishna is an ordinary person. We were talking about the Aryan Samaj. They're a kind of reform version of Hinduism. And the most they accept Krishna as is an extraordinary human being who had a little extraordinary powers. Even in spiritual circles or religious circles, there are limitations placed upon God. And there's a sense that God has limitations, that even though he might perceive that there's anomalies and faults and he wants to correct them, he doesn't have the power to correct them. So there are limitations put on the power of God. One of the statistics we were reading about the other day was that, I think it was this morning, in that ruling by the paper written by the president, supposedly, or by his staff members, was that 30% of Americans consider religion to be the most important thing in their lives. But again, Prabhupada is referring here to designations, or what we might call denominationalism, that I'm fixed in calling myself a Hindu, Catholic, Muslim, Buddhist, Jain, or whatever, Aryan Samaj. Knowledge of God, however, is very elusive because it's beyond any of these designations, whether one is a Catholic or a Protestant or a Hindu. And there is one God, and the purpose of religion is to love God. Still, it is only the Bhagavad Gita and Vedic literature which give a scientific understanding of what God actually is and give a sense of the unlimited nature of the Supreme Lord. Another way of looking at the way we understand Krishna by devotional service and only by devotional service is to say that we can't understand him simply by reading, simply by book knowledge, or simply by customs and traditions that we may have grown up in. People very mechanically sometimes worship a deity, but don't understand that this deity is present in the heart, present everywhere, present in his own abode, and possible to speak with, possible to speak to at least, or to make prayers to make offerings to, and that they will actually be accepted. So another way of talking about Shabda, or experiencing realization, we might say, of Krishna, is that it is an experience. It is an experience, really. That's what Bhakti Mama Bijanati means, that it's an experience. Not simply memorizing verses, but engaging in an experience. I think Prabhupada said once about Krishna consciousness that there was the diet and the medicine. Chanting was the medicine, right? And the reading was the diet. So, prasadam, okay, was the diet. So without the medicine, even though you might have the right diet, the prasadam diet, you can't get cured from a disease because the medicine is the key thing. The diet is kind of supplementary. We have to have prasadam to purify our senses. But if we don't have the medicine, if we don't have the Maha Mantra, if we don't have the experience daily of understanding Krishna through realization, realized knowledge, then we actually don't get that understanding. So the medicine is the key. If someone is ill, they might have the perfect diet recommended by the doctor, but if they're not taking the medicine, they won't get cured. The purpose of Krishna consciousness is to cure not only ourselves, of course, but everyone, of the material disease. And this is the medicine. We call it sometimes the Yuga Dharma. But there has to be medicine. Therefore, sometimes the spiritual master is referred to as the doctor, or the physician, or Krishna, or Nityananda, the great sages. They prescribe the particular medicine according to time, place, and circumstance. And the circumstance and the time are Kali Yuga. This is the time in which this particular prescription of chanting is mentioned as being the method, the best method, the most important method to realize Krishna. And without taking this medicine on a daily basis, then there is no hope of advancing or actually understanding who Krishna is. Krishna is very mysterious. Manushyanam sahasresu kaschanyatati siddhaye. He said that out of many thousands of people endeavoring to try to understand, only one or two will understand. And out of those who understand, out of many thousands of those who understand, Bhagavad Gita says, only one will actually understand me in truth. So it is not an easy thing to understand Krishna. But understanding means realized knowledge. It doesn't mean simply book learning, but realized knowledge. We were visiting one of our members the other day, Sanjeev, and his neighbor was very interested. He came over, he heard the drum playing, and he wanted to hear what we were doing. He's actually from Egypt, where about 80% of the people are Muslim and about 20% are Coptics. They consider themselves sort of the original Christians. And he was very intelligent and inquisitive person. He insisted on buying a Bhagavad Gita, works for the army and teaches Arabic and French. And he asked us that, he said he wanted to know what to read, and we told him he should read the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, because that's the summary of the whole Gita. So he said, but isn't there something else you do that's as important or more important than just reading? So then we explained that chanting the Maha Mantra was the real essence, the real medicine, so to speak, the real way to understand Krishna. And so he greatly appreciated that. And he chanted along with us all the different mantras, and he was reading the Gaurarti out of the book, trying to say all the words very precisely. As a linguist, I think he could pick up on the Sanskrit language, but also he understood the importance of pronouncing the words and the importance of the mantra. Actually, mantra means that which delivers the mind. The mind is so caught up in speculation that it becomes like a trap. Sometimes this jnana is compared to a ghost. A ghost sometimes possesses the soul. And sometimes knowledge possesses us and we think that we know something. We have the phrase, know-it-all. These people are very proud. They think they know it all. So this person was experiencing what we referred to as realization. And it's not simply knowledge that we learn different things and we set them in different compartments in our mind. But we have an experience. We have a transcendental experience. I think Rasa Priya was talking about this yesterday, how being with the devotees in a spiritual atmosphere is a kind of experience that we can't get anywhere else, to associate with devotees and to be in a spiritual atmosphere. And that's the way the deeper understandings, the deeper layers of Krishna consciousness are actually revealed, and actually understanding who Krishna is. Prabhupada refers to the Bhagavad Gita. Avyaktam vyaktam apanam manyate mama buddhaya param bhavam janato manavyayam anuttamam. We have anuttama right here with us. Anuttamam is translated here as the finest, anuttamam. So Prabhupada's translation of this verse is, unintelligent men who do not know me perfectly think that I, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, was impersonal before and have now assumed this personality. Due to their small knowledge, they do not know my higher nature, which is imperishable and supreme. So in this purport, Prabhupada talks about how not only are the senses imperfect, but the instruments by which we try to expand the senses are also imperfect. People use now microscopes and telescopes and electron microscopes and electronic telescopes to try to observe more minutely. And with more advances in technology, they are able to increase the ability of the senses to perceive many different things. But because these objects are all based on an imperfect set of senses, they are also imperfect. We were listening to, putting together a CD, listening to some of the music in a way that was not possible before without the technology that we now have. And we're able to discern very fine differences, very intricate, very precise parts of sound that were not possible before. And yet, this is all material. This is a big business, making sound, making music. Billions of dollars are spent every year. And yet no one is coming closer to actual understanding about who I am, where I'm going, what is God, what is time, what is nature. So these very finely tuned and highly precise technological instruments are all also imperfect, because our original senses are imperfect. And then Prabhupada mentions that it is very difficult to understand Krishna, very difficult, very hard. Even Arjuna is having a difficult time. Krishna says in that 10th chapter, neither the hosts of demigods nor the great sages know my origin or opulence, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and the sages. So it is sometimes said that not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. It is very difficult to understand this on a day-to-day basis, how the Lord is actually behind all of the energy. Prabhupada sometimes referred to him as the origin of the sun, the origin of the moon, the origin of the blue color in the sky. All these things are part of understanding that Krishna is everywhere. is everything and part of the ongoing realization that one has to have in order to understand who Krishna actually is. So Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the other Vedic literatures are a kind of road map to guide us to the essence of the personality of Godhead. And without the medicine of chanting, we can't. It's sort of like learning how to read. You can't read a road map unless you can read English. So you can't really read the Vedas to understand what they mean unless you are chanting the Maha Mantra, unless the Maha Mantra is constantly chanted and one gets a sense of realization. So I'm going to stop here because we went very late yesterday and maybe have some questions or comments or challenges. Agraya Prabhu.
The verse speaks about the limitations of knowledge and knowledge acquiring senses because of their being mayamaya. They are constantly of material. You were speaking about this also. And I was thinking that we often think of jnana, knowledge, as the agent of science. Isn't this also referred to the knowledge of Shastra? So that even if you have so much knowledge of Shastra, the Brahmana and the all the Vedic mantras, you have so much knowledge of Shastra, there is some, is there some limitation to that? Or what is the problem?
Do I need to repeat this for kitchen crew? Is there anybody in there? Zubal?
That's right.
Just you, and you're here. The process of acquiring scientific or material knowledge, of course, is something that remains unrealized by its very nature because we're trying to more minutely study that which is perceivable by direct perception or empirical knowledge, just acquiring knowledge of things and not going below the surface. That's what technical knowledge is. And that's also a bit like the mystic siddhis that are acquired through intense meditation and yoga, like anima and prapti and so on and so forth. That's sometimes considered transcendental or mystical, that people can float in the air, they can make themselves very small or manifest in many places or acquire things in distant places. It got up in terms of reading Vedic knowledge. Of course, Krishna says, aham sarva aham eva vedyo, I am the knowledge, meaning that he, understanding him, is the essence of that knowledge. But because the Vedas are so complete, they also give a lot of knowledge which isn't of a realized nature, for example, the Karmakandya section of the Vedas. And then even reading literature which is pure and transcendental can also be incomplete. Like even the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a principle called Niyamagraha, which means that one can read and memorize Vedic literature and even live by some of its elements, but by not engaging in the Yuga Dharma, or not attaining what is called realized knowledge, or, as we say, not engaging in pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service, that knowledge is incomplete. So to say, anya vilasita sunyam, jnana karma janavrita, this is the limitation. That pure devotional service is free from jnana, from karma, from yoga. That doesn't mean that we don't read, but that when we do so in order to become self-realized. That's called realization. And as I said, without the medicine, then we won't be cured. So the diet, prasadam, is also reading. Reading is a kind of bathing of the mind. It's a kind of purificatory process, just like eating is. And it's a regenerative process in that it makes us become increasingly pure. So jnana, or sometimes known as the speculative process, when it is combined with bhakti, then it becomes pure. We were reading a quote by Prabhupada yesterday in which he was saying how important it is to chant in the temple, how it's 1,000 times more potent. And so the argument that with his colleague there, Well, on a superficial level, we can say, well, one example would be how we say we made a mistake. Now, there's different kinds of apologies. One, you could say, well, I'm sorry that happened. I didn't really mean to do that, but, you know, such and such a thing happened. That's a kind of humility. But then there's another kind where you actually say, I made a big mistake, I want you to forgive me, and that's more deeper kind of humility. Then another superficial way is, like you said, is just to say I'm worthless, I'm no good, and so on. And it's sometimes used as an excuse to not do anything or to just sort of fade into oblivion, I suppose. But real humility is, like you said, it's an internal state of mind. It's to think that I'm not important, I'm not significant, I'm not great, I'm very small and insignificant. I make mistakes. I'm not worthy of praise. One time Prabhupada sort of cut someone down and was saying that you're an unworthy servant. He said, no, you're not unworthy. You're insignificant. So he was trying to, you know, beat down the person by, you know, trying to illustrate what real humility is. It's not just being unworthy or not being any good, but it's being like you don't even matter. He was trying to say that that is even, you know, more of a state of humility. You want to add to that?
Well, actually, one time I wondered, it's not that I'm the most small, I was the sure the most of nothing. Coming out of the way, in regards to humility, what is your humility? A track which the Unified School mentions, they have a broadcast of humility. They like everyone to know about it. Really, humility.
That's pretty good. That's very good. So that's a good aphorism. Don't think of yourself as less, but think less of yourself. Just less often of yourself. Just to underscore that for a minute, it's true that sometimes people, because they think they're low, they become depressed and they don't do anything. But as you were pointing out, real humility is, even though you know you're low and so on, you just go on doing it because it's the duty. And that's a more advanced stage of humility, I guess you would say. Asabriya?
And
That's very good. Yeah, Prabhupada also, didn't he say that child is naturally humble because they know that whatever strength they have, they're getting it from their parent. It's a very good point. Nothing is mine, so we have to, you know, there's nothing to be proud of. Right?
Srila Prabhupada visited here in Comac in 1976, and when the devotee Krishna Gopal asked him, Srila Prabhupada, how can we become humble? Srila Prabhupada slapped him and said, preach boldly.
Then you have to be thinking about the welfare of others. And that's very good. Somebody else had a comment? Subal? Priya? Hardas Thakur. Following instructions, yeah. I have to admit, I used to be very, very proud, but I think I've finally conquered that now. I'm a very humble person. It's very difficult. Well, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah, I remember.